Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so I'm just wondering, you know, if Trump wouldn't have banned bump stocks and also AR pistols like the Honey Badger, maybe he would have been reelected. What do you think? You know, that's kind of my thought when it comes to the Second Amendment community, because, you know, we've been dealing with, you know, the bump stock ban, meaning that, you know, if you owned a bump stock, the ATF said, hey, you know what? They're illegal, even though you purchased them legally. They're now banned. You either have to turn them in or they confiscated them and they didn't compensate you for it. And if you didn't turn them in or destroy it, you could be charged with a felony. Also, Honey Badger. ATF came out and said, you know what? Now, if you were in possession of one of those honey badgers, those are illegal. So, you know, this happened under the Trump administration. So, and I think back to my different presidents and, you know, which president, you know, we actually lost gun rights versus which presidents we gain gun rights. And so I have to go back and look at, you know, what Obama did when he was in office. And unfortunately, the truth hurts. It really does. It just hurts. You know, and I'm a conservative, but it hurts the fact that Obama expanded gun owners' rights by, you know, gun owners can carry a loaded firearm in the Grand Canyon and the other national parks. That happened under the Obama administration. Also, Amtrak passengers, you know, were able to carry guns in their checked luggage. That happened under the Obama administration. Reversing a ban that was put in place after 9/11 under George Bush. Ronald Reagan started gun control in California. You know, remember when the Black Panthers walked into the state capital of California? Well, that's when they started their gun control. And then California just went, you know, far left and, you know, and they lost all of their gun rights whatsoever. So, you know, we have lost more gun rights on the Republican president in the last 40 years than a Democrat president. And you know what? The truth hurts. So you got to look at that. I look at that and that's how I vote, you know, and a lot of people went to the polls and people voted like in Texas. More people voted for Senator John Cornyn than they did, you know, President Trump. And the numbers show that. And there's some other things going on. There's some irregularities going on there. There's some trickery going on there as well. You know, there's some things where, you know, there are more ballots than the people that are actually registered in the county. And that's a problem. That needs to be looked at as well. You know, but let me welcome to the conversation, you know, talk about that, because, you know, there's some there's some bad things. There's some trickery going on. That's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. There's some trickery going on. So let me welcome to the mic Jennifer Fleck. She's a Republican poll watcher. And Jennifer actually ran for office as a state representative. And I want to say in district
47
as a state rep. So, Jennifer Fleck, welcome to Come and Talk It.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And Jennifer, you know, you were a strong candidate running for state representative. You actually ran that election to a runoff election. I appreciate your hard work and stepping up to the plate and, you know, running for public office, because that's, you know, that takes a lot out of you.
Yes, it was a lot of work, but I was willing to do it. I knew that things needed to change, specifically in Texas and at the legislature, and I had the time and the resources, and I was willing to run to take back Texas, to be honest. That's what we need to do, is take back Texas.
And so tell me, you know, what's going on here with Travis County? Because Travis County it's corrupt as far as the Travis County Elections Office, as far as the Travis County Tax Assessor's Office. And a lot of people don't know that the Travis County Tax Assessor's Office, which you've been totally asleep on this office here, totally asleep. Do you know that employees have been arrested in this office, that the state troopers, DPS, walked into this office and arrested employees in the Tax Assessor's Office and took them to jail? And people totally miss this. You know, that's your tax assessor. That's your tax collector. You know, DPS troopers walked into the office, handcuffed employees, and arrested them under your watch this cycle. And it totally was missed. The media hasn't talked about it at all, except for us. You know, I mentioned it and I've talked about it. But, you know, everyone totally missed this. And so this building is very corrupt building. You know, but Jennifer, you were there firsthand, you know, counting ballots, watching the ballots being counted.
Correct.
And so tell us what your experience was.
I just want everybody in Travis County and in the state of Texas to know that the clerk's office in Travis County is completely corrupt. They're criminals that are running our elections and processing our ballots. So after my July election, I looked at the audit logs and spoke to witnesses. And I knew in July that the whole office was corrupt and the election had been rigged. We filed complaints with the Texas Secretary of State. A criminal a criminal investigation was referred against the Travis County clerk to the Texas AG on September 2nd, and nothing was done. They just sat on that criminal investigation and didn't investigate her, and she was then allowed to conduct the next election, which was November. So I volunteered as a poll watcher with the Travis County Republican Party. We had already heard that she was pulling the same trickery, as you say, that she did in July. So I went in knowing she was breaking the law and illegally processing our votes. I volunteered on Monday and Tuesday. I showed up Monday morning as a poll watcher. I turned in my certification. They let me in, but they were obstructing poll watchers. So in Texas, when you obstruct a poll watcher, it's a Class A misdemeanor. So you can go to jail for a year and or it's a $4,000 fine. So they were obstructing the poll watchers. They kept us in a separate room behind a glass. We could not hear. The room was about 20 feet deep. We could not see what was going on. There was about, at times, 9 people working in this room, and we couldn't see anything. And every time we tapped on the window, they would ignore us. Every time we knocked on the window, they would come around and tell us we were acting violently, and we were disparaging their character because we were accusing them of not being transparent.
Ooh, all right. We're talking with Jennifer Fleck. She's a Republican poll watcher. We're talking about the fact that the post office delivered 40,000 more ballots after the sweep. We're talking about what happened in Travis County. We're talking about this election. Do you know that if Trump wouldn't have banned bump stocks and AR pistols like the Honey Badger, maybe he would still have been elected president? This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hello, this is Gerald Daugherty, and I'm the Precinct 3 County Commissioner here in Travis County, and you're listening to Come and Talk It.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and The New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so I'm just wondering, you know, if Trump wouldn't have banned bump stocks and also AR pistols like the Honey Badger, maybe he would have been reelected. What do you think? You know, that's kind of my thought when it comes to the Second Amendment community, because, you know, we've been dealing with, you know, the bump stock ban, meaning that, you know, if you owned a bump stock, the ATF said, hey, you know what? They're illegal, even though you purchased them legally. They're now banned. You either have to turn them in or they confiscated them and they didn't compensate you for it. And if you didn't turn them in or destroy it, you could be charged with a felony. Also, Honey Badger, ATF came out and said, you know what? Now, if you in possession of one of those honey badgers, those are illegal. So, you know, this happened under the Trump administration. So, and I think back to my different presidents and, you know, which president, you know, we actually lost gun rights versus which presidents we gained gun rights. And so I have to go back and look at, you know, what Obama did when he was in office. And unfortunately, the truth hurts. It really does. It just hurts, you know, and I'm a conservative, but it hurts the fact that Obama expanded gun owners' rights by, you know, gun owners can carry a loaded firearm in the Grand Canyon and other national parks. That happened under the Obama administration. Also, Amtrak passengers, you know, were able to carry guns in their checked luggage. That happened under the Obama administration. Reversing a ban that was put in place after 9/11 under George Bush. Ronald Reagan started gun control in California. You know, remember when the Black Panthers walked into the state capital of California? Well, that's when they started their gun control. And then California just went, you know, far left and, you know, and they lost all of their gun rights whatsoever. So, you know, we have lost more gun rights on the Republican president in the last 40 years than a Democrat president. And you know what? The truth hurts. So you got to look at that. I look at that and that's how I vote, you know, and a lot of people went to the polls and people voted like in Texas. More people voted for Senator John Cornyn than they did, you know, President Trump. And the numbers show that. And there's some other things going on. There's some irregularities going on there. There's some trickery going on there as well. You know, there's some things where, you know, there are more ballots than the people that are actually registered in the county. And that's a problem. That needs to be looked at as well. You know, but let me welcome to the conversation, you know, talk about that, because, there's some there's some bad things. There's some trickery going on. That's what I'm trying to tell you, folks. There's some trickery going on. So let me welcome to the mic Jennifer Fleck. She's a Republican poll watcher. And Jennifer actually ran for office as a state representative. And I want to say in district
47.
47 as a state rep. So Jennifer Fleck, welcome to Come and Talk It.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And Jennifer, you know, you were a strong candidate running for state representative. You actually ran that election to a runoff election. I appreciate your hard work and stepping up to the plate and, you know, running for public office, because that's, you know, that takes a lot out of you.
Yes, it was a lot of work, but I was willing to do it. I knew that things needed to change, specifically in Texas and at the legislature, and I had the time and the resources, and I was willing to run to take back Texas, to be honest. That's what we need to do, is take back Texas.
And so tell me, you know, what's going on here with Travis County? Because Travis County is it's corrupt as far as the Travis County Elections Office, as far as the Travis County Tax Assessor's Office. And a lot of people don't know that the Travis County Tax Assessor's Office, which you've been totally asleep on this office here. Totally asleep. Do you know that employees have been arrested in this office, that the state troopers, DPS, walked into this office and arrested employees in the tax assessor's office and took them to jail? And people totally miss this. You know, that's your tax assessor. That's your tax collector. You know, DPS troopers walked into the office, handcuffed employees, and arrested them under your watch this cycle. And it totally was missed. The media hasn't talked about it at all, except for us. You know, I mentioned it and I've talked about it. But, you know, everyone totally missed this. And so this building is very corrupt building. You know, but Jennifer, you were there firsthand, you know, counting ballots, watching the ballots being counted.
Correct.
And so tell us what your experience was.
I just want everybody in Travis County and in the state of Texas to know that the clerk's office in Travis County is completely corrupt. They're criminals that are running our elections and processing our ballots. So after my July election, I looked at the audit logs and spoke to witnesses. And I knew in July that the whole office was corrupt and the election had been rigged. We filed complaints with the Texas Secretary of State. A criminal investigation was referred against the Travis County clerk to the Texas AG on September 2nd, and nothing was done. They just sat on that criminal investigation and didn't investigate her, and she was then allowed to conduct the next election, which was November. So I volunteered as a poll watcher with the Travis County Republican Party. We had already heard that she was pulling the same trickery, as you say, that she did in July. So I went in knowing she was breaking the law and illegally processing our votes. I volunteered on Monday and Tuesday. I showed up Monday morning as a poll watcher. I turned in my certification. They let me in, but they were obstructing poll watchers. So in Texas, when you obstruct a poll watcher, it's a Class A misdemeanor. So you can go to jail for a year and or it's a $4,000 fine. So they were obstructing the poll watchers. They kept us in a separate room behind a glass. We could not hear. The room was about 20 feet deep. We could not see what was going on. There was about, at times, 9 people working in this room, and we couldn't see anything. And every time we tapped on the window, they would ignore us. Every time we knocked on the window, they would come around and tell us we were acting violently, and we were disparaging their character because we were accusing them of not being transparent.
Ooh, all right. We're talking with Jennifer Fleck. She's a Republican poll watcher. We're talking about the fact that the post office delivered 40,000 more ballots after the sweep. We're talking about what happened in Travis County. We're talking about this election. Do you know that if Trump wouldn't have banned bump stocks and AR pistols like the Honey Badger, maybe he would still have been elected president? This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hello, this is Gerald Daugherty, and I'm the Precinct 3 County Commissioner here in Travis County, and you're listening to Come and Talk It.
Talk 30. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
1970, the right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about this election and talking about what happened in around the country, you know, and I'm going to say just like I said it, you know, 4 years ago, when your candidate, you know, your candidate doesn't win, what you have to do is you have to accept the results of the election and then wait 4 years and try again. I'm very consistent in everything that I do. I'm very consistent in everything that I say. Doesn't change on who's in office or who's, you know, who's not in office. Doesn't matter if I like the person that's in office, I like the person that won, or I hate the person, don't like the person that won. Doesn't matter. You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, you know, just like I do every legislative session, when I don't get my way, I, you know, take my bags, I go home, and I come back another day. You know, same thing with the election. Doesn't matter who, you know, who won or lost. You know, you come back and you try again, you know, and you just try a little harder the next time. And I'm wondering, you know, if you wouldn't have gotten those extra votes, you know, especially, you know, you got to look at all the different votes. All the Republicans down ballot got a certain amount of numbers there. In every different state, every single state, Republicans did better than the president did, President Trump. So you have to look at that. And unfortunately, it hurts. The truth does hurt. But if he, you know, maybe if this president hadn't banned bump stocks, maybe if this president hadn't banned the honey badger and his administration, the ATF, come after AR pistols, maybe we wouldn't be in this predicament. You know, and it does. And I don't want to hear the fact that, well, you know, Biden's going to do worse. You know, well, unfortunately, I have to look at history, and history dictates that a Republican president is probably going to be the person to take away my Second Amendment rights. Got to look at that. I look at, you know, all the different, you know, different things that have happened down the road. And unfortunately, history dictates that. All right. So we're talking about that. We're also talking about, and if I'm wrong, you know, give me a call. Hey, my number is 512-643-5483. Come and talk it. Tell me that I'm wrong. You know, you don't like what I'm saying. You know, tell me, you know, that Michael, you're wrong. And here's why you're wrong. Tell me why I'm wrong. That's 512-643-5483. Come and talk it. And what's going on there, Rob? What's going on, Thomas? All right. So, yeah, definitely give me a call and tell me. And then Thomas says, funny thing is that the Democratic voting illegalities are old. I read up on the race between Nixon and Kennedy. Nixon was encouraged to contest the results in Michigan, but the Electoral College results would not have made a difference. So I don't know. Don't know, Thomas, but you tell me, you know, so we'll see what happens. But we'll see what happens with this election here. All right, so let me go back to Jennifer. Jennifer Fleck was telling us her experience of what happened in Travis County in Texas here. what happened while she was poll watching. Jennifer.
So I was poll watching on Monday. Dana DeBevoise and her clerks were obstructing all poll watchers, Democrats and Republicans. So I called the Travis County Republican Party. They contacted the Texas Secretary of State and the county attorney. Dana DeBevoise did not make any changes to the room, did not let us in. We still were not able to hear, which under the law we're allowed to. And so I called 911. And about an hour later, a sheriff showed up. I explained the law to him. They took him aside for about 30 minutes. By the time he returned, he was convinced that there was nothing that he could do for me or for us to preserve election integrity. And so he told us that we could file a complaint with the Texas Secretary of State, which we have already done. A criminal investigation was already referred against Dana DeBevoise in September. And so I was frustrated with his response. And at that moment, they found out that I was taking pictures because I'm tired of the narrative that voter fraud and election fraud is not happening. That is a lie. So they found out that I was taking pictures of us being obstructed, and they asked me to leave. I refused to leave. About an hour later, they told me again to leave, and I refused to leave again, and I was arrested for criminal trespass. So I spent 24 hours in jail, and it's unfortunate that I had to do that, that it had to come to that. But I will say that since I was arrested, the AG has taken my statement and seems to be investigating the allegations. And the Republican Party of Texas filed a writ of mandamus with the Texas Supreme Court on Friday, asking the court to demand that she let poll watchers in now that the election is kind of a done deal now. But the story is getting traction, and my motive, my intent, my goal is that voters in Travis County will get a legal and fair election.
And then you have to, and I tell people this all the time, that when someone asks you to leave, you can't argue that, you can't debate that right then and there. Unfortunately, they're going to have the upper hand, and then you're going to get charged with criminal trespass, and you're going to lose that because verbal notice carries a lot of weight. We talk about that when we're talking about carrying handguns in certain places, that, you know, verbal notice carries a lot of weight. So if someone asks you to leave, you have to leave, because if you don't, you refuse to leave, that is criminal trespass. If you have a license to carry a handgun, you can lose that license for 7 years. If you're carrying a handgun, well, you can't in the polling location, but if you where there's polling and stuff like that going on. But if you're carrying a handgun, then you can be charged with, class A misdemeanor, and that's up to 1 year in jail, if you're carrying a handgun. So, someone asks, when they ask you to leave, leave. Don't refuse to leave. Don't debate the issue. Because remember, you're no good if you're in jail. So you got to leave and do that. And then, let's go back another day and see if we can get that done. Whatever needs to be done, take it up to, whatever levels of government you need to take that to. Because we're going to have to go to the Texas State Capitol come this next legislative session and get the legislature to address this situation. We're going to need our state reps, our state senators, and thank goodness that, the Republicans still control the House, the Republicans control the Senate in Texas, and so be able to get these issues addressed. I think the legislature is going to address the fact of COVID-19, how it happened, what the governor did, what the governor didn't do. I think the legislature is going to address that. Also, I think they're going to address what happened in this election and how, and mailing ballots and things of that nature. So we're going to have to, look at all this stuff, and that's going to be up to the legislature to do that, because they're the ones that actually write the laws. And, when the House agrees on it, the Senate agrees on it, the governor's going to sign it. If not, to go back to them if there's enough time. If not, then that's a done deal. But you only get 6 months from January to June in 2021 to address those things.
I agree that the session is in 2021. However, I don't agree that we, the people, are represented in the legislature, because if we don't have legal and fair elections, then we're not getting to elect people that care about the things that we care about. I believe that the legislature has failed us. I believe the governor has failed us. I believe that the AG has failed us. Until we have legal and fair elections, we, the people, are not represented.
So you're saying that since we don't have legal and fair elections, you don't believe that you can go about things in your own way without necessarily doing it legally as well. sort of.
I'm saying we don't have legal and fair elections so that the candidates that are being advanced don't actually represent the people.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so if we don't have legal and fair elections, we actually can't advance the issues that we care about.
Right. So it's sort of irrelevant to say, you know, hey, let's change the laws because if the people aren't representing, you know, whether you're right wing, left wing, moderate, whatever, if the elections aren't a fair process, then there's no point in waiting until the waiting to change the laws because you don't have some it's rigged from the get go.
Correct. So
when you got arrested for criminal trespassing and for filming, both of which are illegal, you're basically saying that since the process isn't fair in the first place, you're like fighting fire with fire, essentially.
I say that people who break the rules and break the laws are advancing their causes, and conservatives won't break laws, won't break rules, won't push, and we are getting left behind. We're always trying. We're always playing catch up. We're always behind the ball.
Taking law and order a little bit too far. Sometimes their laws are more like guidelines, Michael. What do you think about that?
What I think is that you have to look at, you know, their laws. And me, I know exactly what it's like for someone to say that you can't do something, or, you know, to be mistreated or to be discriminated against and all the good kind of stuff. Fully aware of that. You know, I'm aware of, you know, I look at law enforcement. I know how law enforcement treats certain people. You know, I know how the courts are stacked up. I know how law enforcement, you know, how they're reacting to certain things. I know the way our criminal justice system works. So I know when things are unfair. But unfortunately, regardless of whether they're unfair or not, you got to work within the system and work with yes, you do, and get things done. Because if you don't,
She
winds up in jail.
Hey, we're all, you know, going to jail is not that big of a deal.
Again,
how long were you in the big house?
24 hours. And again,
one day. And I bet she would do it again. I bet that's what she was about to say.
I would do it again.
Because she believes in what she did.
I would do it again because nothing else was working. And now I am giving my statement.
Civil
to AG.
Disobedience. That's what it is.
Nothing
that's what
else
who wrote
was
that?
Working.
Thoreau?
Right. And if I was disobedient and I was civil like that in that nature, I probably would have been shot in the Travis County Clerk's office. So unfortunately, I'm not going to act like that. I'm not going to do that. When someone asks me to leave, I'm going to leave. If not, they're probably going to beat me with their nightstick. They may even end up shooting me, you know, but I'm not going to put myself in that situation. And I suggest no one else do the same thing. You got to follow the process, got to do what you need to do, got to take it up to the Texas legislature, you got to get your elected official, you got to go to the Capitol and get them to do what they need to do.
Only if the elected official is...
You got to stand in their office and knock on their doors and get them to hear your voice.
But only if the elected official is fairly and duly elected.
Right.
Welcome to America. Welcome to Texas.
Yeah, we don't like
Welcome
that. We're
to
trying
life.
To change it.
Yeah, talk to the Indians. They found that out the hard way as well. Indigenous people.
I tried that. I'm an activist. I'm an activist on other issues, keeping graphic sex ed out of schools and parental rights. And I was an activist in the last several sessions. In 2019, I came to a point where I was like, why doesn't anybody care? Why doesn't anybody in this building care that they are exploiting children? Why? And I decided to run. The reason why is because we're not getting fair and legal elections.
We
That's
come back
why.
From the break. We'll go back to Jennifer Fleck, talk about this election. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Brittany Glaze, and I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Talk 1370.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today. The right choice.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back and we're talking about this election. We're talking about how does this election affect the Second Amendment community? Well, if Trump would not have banned bump stocks and AR pistols like the Honey Badger, he would have been reelected president. You know, Obama expanded gun rights. You can actually carry a loaded firearm in the Grand Canyon, also in other national parks because of President Obama. In Amtrak passengers can carry guns in checked luggage because of President Obama, which reversed a ban that was put in place after 9/11 under George Bush. Ronald Reagan started gun control in California. Now, we have lost more gun rights under Republican president in the last 40 years. Give me a call. Let me know if I'm right or wrong. My number is 512-643-5483. That's 512-643-5483. Come and talk it.
It is pretty bizarre how gun rights, it doesn't really matter who's in office, really. They keep going away.
Just depends. Frank with Cedar Park, you're on to Come and Talk It.
Yes. Well, first of all, just hats off to the great patriot that you got in the room with Jennifer. I mean, she's awesome. So kudos to her first. And no, it wouldn't make any difference at all. They determined the number of ballots that they needed to effectively steal the election. So our right to vote until we actually address this and put people in jail doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
And they've done that for years. Doesn't matter. I mean, not this is this year. It's done. LBJ did it. Mayor Daley did it. Republicans and Democrats on both sides of the aisle do it to each other. E.I. Bernie probably got the nomination and Biden probably did not. So, we really got to fix this. And until we do, we don't have fair and free elections. And I'll just leave you with that. I appreciate what y'all do. All of you. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, sir. Appreciate you, Frank. All right. So, Jennifer, you know, what do we do? How do we fix this problem?
Well, I 100% agree that fair and legal elections is a bipartisan issue, that not only are Republicans being hurt, but the more moderate Democrats in Travis County are also being hurt because they're advancing the more socialist Democrat in every race. Mm. So moderate Democrats in Travis County are not being represented, period. So what can we do? Well, two city council races have gone to a runoff, District 6 and District 10. And we should demand, it's set for December 15th, we should demand in Travis County that Dana DeBevoise and her office not get to conduct that runoff election, not come near our ballots. And the city of Austin should get behind Mackenzie Kelly and Jennifer Verdin for District 6 and District 10.
All right. And once again, that call-in number is 512-643-5483. That's 512-643-5483. Come and talk it. All right. So I'm going to go back to my previous statement. You know, I'm going to hammer it home. And I hope it hurts. You know, that's why I keep saying it over and over again. I hope it hurts. You know, this administration would not have banned bump stocks. This administration would not have gone after AR pistols the way they're going after them, then maybe things would have changed. You know, maybe people would have been motivated to get up and actually vote for this particular president, because your state senators and other Republicans down ballot got more Republican votes than the actual president did. And that happened in every single state, every single election. Right. So I'm going to go back and say the same thing.
Let me ask you something. Would you have voted for Trump if he would have been better for 2A?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Without hands down, because I'm very consistent. I'm all about the Second Amendment, because the Second Amendment protects all of our rights. If I have my second, then I can protect everything else. I protect my first, I protect my third, my fourth, and so on and so forth.
I do know a decent amount of of 2A people, people in the 2A community, I should say, that that didn't vote for
your
Trump.
Diehard people are upset about the fact that you're
banning
bump stocks.
If you look at some of the states, the swing states where Trump lost,
Trump didn't lose. We don't know who lost. The vote tallies don't represent the voters, period. Does anybody in this room think that the two transportation measures actually passed in the
Prop
city of
A.
Austin? Prop A should not have passed. Prop B should not have passed. I do not believe that that is an accurate reflection.
Do you have a lot of
votes.
Friends that are progressive or liberal, though?
No, I don't.
So then your perception might be off. Right. I too, find it hard to believe that it actually passed. I'm not saying that you're wrong. But my immediate group of people that I hang around are mostly, you know, moderates and libertarians and maybe some conservatives. But I don't know. Well, no, I do know a decent amount of people. I know a decent amount of people that are progressive that also voted against Prop A. Now
I know a lot of people. I don't live my life in an echo chamber where the people around me are saying
well,
the exact
same thing. Well,
I'm a
reporter. I run around all over the place, talk to everybody.
So, yeah, you got
to
get out of the echo chamber. You got to get other voices.
Listen, without transparency, we cannot be sure that the voters are being represented. We don't have transparency.
I also agree with that.
Dana DeBevoir and her office will not let poll watchers in. If you have nothing to hide, there's no reason why you should not let poll watchers in and do their job that they're given under the law.
What I can say is this election is a wash. This is done.
Yeah.
So all we need to do is, you know, pick it up. Let's figure out what we're going to do. Let's figure out what we can change at the legislature come 2021 and see how we can make it different for the next election. Because this
is
the exact same thing. Same thing we dealt with you know, the Democrats come in 2016. You know,
no.
Same thing.
No, this election is the same thing as 2000.
Same thing.
This is the same thing as the 2000 election when
it occurs. Sorry. All it is, it's going to be redistricting. And that's all they're going to get done. It's going to be all virtual. Activists aren't going to be able to come in and testify. And this legislative session is going to be a complete wash. None of us are going to get anything advanced that we care about, period.
We can if we – you got to
get – I don't think this election's
gotta
push. Over.
You got to push. I've been told that, you know what, open carry will never pass in Texas. I've been told that campus carry will never pass in Texas. I've been told so many different things that will never ever happen,
and then
you know,
you
because
push
people
through.
People stand at the Capitol and they bring, you know, they tell stories. They bring people out of state that don't live in this state to try to keep you from getting the things that you want. But you know what I do? I continue to push and to fight. I don't let someone tell me no. I don't take no for an answer. You know
well,
what?
Well, she's not either.
But hold on, hold on. 2A.
She just has a different.
The Second Amendment. You can get some bipartisan bipartisan support. For some reason, sexualizing children, for some reason, is a partisan issue. I don't know why. Every single Democrat wants to sexualize children. Every single Republican doesn't. Why is that a partisan issue? You just happen to care about something that you can get support
partisan,
from both sides.
Okay, yeah.
That's why your issue is maybe advances more so than other pro-life or.
Well, how do you develop partisan support?
I don't know. I go into every office and not one single Democrat cares about parental rights and sexualizing children. Not one.
What do you think, Michael?
Sometimes you have to sit down and talk to people and willing to see where they're willing to compromise on certain issues so you can get a little bit of what you want. You may not be able to get everything. I never get everything that I want, but I have to sit down and talk and try to compromise a little bit and get a little bit of what I want.
I want what the people want. I want the voters represented by their legislature.
You're not gonna get instant gratification. It's like having sex. You're not gonna get everything you want.
I've been working on this.
They're not
gonna
go all the way that you want them to go. You know, yeah. But you know,
watch it.
But yeah, sometimes you have to settle for you know the little bit that you can get.
I don't want a little bit. I don't. I want the voters represented. I want Texas to be the independent, freedom-loving, liberty-fighting state that I was born in and I grew up in. Texas should be leading this country on everything that Americans care about.
I agree.
Sounds like you need to go
Sounds like you need to run for office again.
For libertarian.
I'll never run in Travis County as long as Dana DeBevoir is running our elections because she's fixing and rigging elections.
And also,
period.
And maybe we need to have that conversation about voting libertarian or voting independent.
I'm all for independents and libertarians. I lean libertarian.
Maybe we need to show that by actually voting for libertarian candidates. And if libertarians can actually get a certain percentage of vote, that would change. That would change a lot if they can get that nice third, you know, that third candidate, that third choice, instead of having the left and the right.
Yeah.
Well, the binary system is garbage. Yeah.
It's not hard because people don't do it. People that I talk to, everyone talks about the fact that they're libertarian leaning. They talk about it all the time, but then no one actually goes out and vote. You know, for
they
that libertarian candidate.
Don't vote libertarian.
No, they don't. They talk about it, but they don't vote for the candidate.
Did you?
I did.
So did I.
I sure did.
I voted for the libertarian in HD 47.
Yeah. All right.
And it changes votes also. You know, maybe that's another reason why some of those vote totals weren't as high as we thought they were. Also, you know, that affects those numbers a little bit.
We have to fix it. It has to get fixed. We can't continue on. If Trump does nothing else the next 4 years but fix election integrity, that will be a win for the American people. We have to fix it. I don't know if you guys know, but our votes are actually tabulated outside of this country. That should not be. We need American-owned election software and hardware companies.
What do you mean? Outside of the country.
26 states have contracts where our votes are tabulated in Barcelona and Frankfurt, Germany, and then sent back into America. They're private companies that run election software. They're sending our votes outside of the country. That should not be happening.
All right, let's talk about the fact that 40,000 mail-in ballots were delivered by the United States Postal Service on Thursday as it continued court order sweeps of postal centers across the country. So the Postal Service reported early Friday that it found 1,076 ballots at its Philadelphia Processing and Distribution Center, about 300 at a Pittsburgh Processing Center, and more at other centers across the state. Now, ballots in Pennsylvania must be postmarked by Election Day, but can be received by Friday evening and still count. It is one of more than a dozen states with deadlines to receive ballots stretching into the next week. Now, ballots have also been delivered in North Carolina, where about 500 were found during sweeps. And U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan on Thursday ordered twice daily sweeps to be conducted during the morning and the afternoon at a Postal Service facility in states where the deadline to receive ballots has been extended due to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, about 150,000 ballots were delivered Wednesday following sweeps, according to a lawyer for a nonprofit organization, Vote Forward. Now, according to this this news report, the vast majority were destined for postmarked states and would be delivered on time under state election law. And that's according to one of the postal services that said that in Reuters. Some states, including Pennsylvania, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina, are still counting ballots as a result of the 2020 presidential election.
How long did the 2000 election last? When was Bush officially...
It took a few weeks.
I was pretty young.
Yeah, there's no instant gratification. There's something with just this generation here that wants instant gratification, you know, when it comes to things. They don't understand the fact that, you know, Florida totally screwed that up, and it took Florida a long time to fix that. We were dealing with Chads. Do you remember Chads?
Hanging Chads.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what's funny? the fact that for a couple days there, the entire election was hinged, you know, it was hinging on the state of Nevada was funny because, you know, like the Vegas and people gambling and whatnot. I thought it was hilarious. I have a bunch of friends that were gambling on who was going to win. You know, it's kind of poetic.
American people need to understand that we have an enemy that lives in this country that wants to, that wants to destroy this country, wants to take our freedoms, wants to take our liberties, and we have to wake up.
It's not just. It's not a partisan thing, though. You know, I'm not saying that you're saying that, but that's what people need to realize is that it's not a partisan thing. The binary political system pits people against each other, when in reality, I don't think the average Democrat or Republican really has that much of a difference in opinion on a lot of the topics.
I agree.
We're talking about the election. We're talking about how does this election affect the Second Amendment community. We're talking about if Trump, you know, maybe would not have banned bump stocks. Maybe he would have not, you know, come after the, you know, AR pistols. Maybe more Republicans would have stood up and actually voted for him and not sit on their hands. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Folks, this is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so you know that gun sales to first-time buyers skyrocketed amid the fears of a bloody election and unrest? That's right. Gun sales soared prior to this election. So, yeah, like legions of other first-time buyers who are contributing to record sales for the U.S. gun industry this year, this one particular person here says that the decision to take up arms is driven in part by disturbing news about the coronavirus pandemic, social unrest over police killings of black people in potential contested election that many fear could spark violence. And, you know, every time, you know, we think about the worst is going to happen. I've had people walk into the gun store, you know, saying that, you know, that on election night, the day after election, the world's going to end. You know, all this stuff is going to happen. People actually say these things.
That the world's going to end?
Oh, yeah. What? It's D-Day. The world's going to end. Everything's going to, you know, come to head on, you know, the day after the election. It's the things that are said and happened in the gun store would just blow your mind.
Hey, well, you're talking about first-time gun owners going up, right? I believe we have a video of that, Michael.
We do?
You want to run that?
Ah, sure, yeah.
Casey, can you run the video that we recorded at Centex?
Yeah, it's at the end of the...
At the end of the dock. Yeah, I went to Central Texas Gunworks, and I asked employees and customers and a firearms instructor why they thought first-time gun ownership is skyrocketing before the election. Did you buy a gun recently?
Yes.
First time?
Yes.
Really?
Nice. Yes. What made you do it?
I felt unsafe. I'll be honest. I felt unsafe. I knew that this election was going to produce a lot of
turmoil,
unease. And I did. I felt unsafe. And I think owning a gun is preventative. I hope I never have to use it. But I think it's unwise to not own a gun now.
And the gun industry is actually very predictable. You know, you can always look at what's going on. And I'll tell you if gun sales are going to go up. I'll tell you if there's going to be gun shortage. I'll tell you if there's going to be ammunition shortage. Every year, you know, a normal year, I can tell you when the gun industry is going to be busy. Good time to buy. I can tell you when the gun industry is not going to be busy. A bad time to buy. You know, but customers don't listen. You know, you tell them things, and they're just like, I want this, and I want this right now. I'm just telling you, you're not going to be able to get this. It's going to take a little while. And they're just like, well, they want to know why. Well, because unfortunately.
Well, everything's on back order right now.
Times are tough right now, you know.
Yeah.
And you got to look at the big picture, what's going on in other countries. People don't want to realize, they don't want to hear the fact that a lot of our parts and pieces and some of our guns, a lot of our guns come from overseas. The different parts come from overseas. Unfortunately, they're not made in America. You're like, oh, Second Amendment, America. Guess what? That gun's probably not made in America. It's made in another country. Or some parts of that is made in another country. And other countries don't take the Second Amendment the way we do. You know, the Second Amendment is very important to us. And we're not shutting down, you know, our gun stores and stuff like that here. But unfortunately, in other countries, they shut their places down when the country shut down. And so it takes months, 6 months to 8 months to get stuff, you know, from them to us overseas. And that's the fact of it. But take a listen to some of the customers, the employees, and an instructor, what they had to say inside Central Texas Gunworks.
I'm Gary Faust with Come and Talk It. And today we are outside of Central Texas Gunworks in Austin, Texas, to speak with customers and employees alike about the uptick in first-time gun owners leading up to the 2020 election. All right, I'm here with Gina Roberts, a firearms instructor from California, and thank you for talking to me today.
My
pleasure. Have you noticed any changes in the 2A landscape leading up to the election?
Absolutely. It has been truly remarkable, the changes that I've seen with especially our liberal friends.
Have you noticed a shift in who's purchasing firearms amongst your friends or family?
I don't think I've necessarily seen a shift, but a lot of people close to me have been deciding to buy firearms for the first time in the last year.
I'm here with Andres at Central Texas Gunworks, and
You are a sales associate, and you've been dealing with customers on a daily basis for the past how many months?
Like last 6 months.
The last 6 months. And have you noticed any changes in the clientele at Central Texas Gunworks?
Yes, it's been an increase of a lot of beginners, a person that actually never owns a guns before, and they want to take a class. They want to know about like beginner class, private classes, and all that. And we got a lot of beginners.
What about an increase in first-time gun owners?
Unbelievable. I think something in the neighborhood of like 54% of the gun purchases in San Diego County, where I live, are brand new, never ever bought a gun before.
Do you have an idea for what the reason behind these people buying guns for the first time is?
I guess like most of them, after the coronavirus, they got scared. You know, they thought the food was gonna be food anywhere. People were gonna break into houses and stuff. So they got scared. They started trying to get guns, you know, just to survive and defend and protect themselves, pretty much.
Do you think that election fears are going to shift people's political viewpoints?
Yes, both towards our side and away from our side. So I'm going to say our side being, you know, the pro-gun, pro-right side.
Has there been an uptick in sales leading up to the election?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure there is. The last couple of weeks, it's been an increase of gun sales. So I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Do you think people are concerned about what's going to happen in the aftermath of the 2020 election between Trump and Biden?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really into all that, but I heard like a couple of people saying that if Trump loses, they're going to the ATF is going to take all the guns from everybody, which I don't think is going to happen. And same thing, and vice versa, they think if we then win and Trump loses, you cannot buy any guns or something like that, you know, pretty much. That's what they're saying, but I don't really know how it is.
So, because we've seen a drastic increase in the number of people who would consider themselves liberal or moderate or left wing who are purchasing guns for the first time this year. And a lot of it's due to, you know, election fears. Do you think that's a valid concern, that people should be fearful of the election, of you know, what might have to happen after the election?
I think it's important to always be prepared. You know, stay ready so you don't got to get ready. I don't necessarily think people should be fearful, because if you're well prepared, there's nothing to fear, personally. That's what I believe.
Well said. So there's been a lot of first-time gun buyers. Has there been a change in sort of the demographic of who's buying guns? Because, you know, stereotypically, the media will tell people that it's all white men buying firearms. Is that the case?
No. I'm seeing a lot of increase on black people, Hispanic people, and Indians. Also, Asians. A lot of Asians have come and buy guns for the first time. So it's not just white. It's like a balance, you know, everybody.
Why do you think that so many more people who were not a gun owner before are now purchasing firearms?
People really seem to believe that another civil war is going to happen. That seems to be a discourse. I thought it was funny. I was on that Texas Gun Traders website, and one of the ads for ammo was like pre-election day sale, which I thought was like really funny. But also, like, that's exactly what's on people's minds. So I think that people are sensing an intensity of a passion for certain political ideologies. And it's just not really safe out here. You know what I mean? People are getting killed. People are scared. Other people are stocking up. Like, we see the sales of guns going up.
As you can see, a combination of factors are influencing folks across the political spectrum to purchase firearms for the first time in the months leading up to the 2020 presidential election. I'm Gary Faust with Come and Talk It.
And you got to look at, you know, you got to remember supply and demand. And we look at the supply. When the supply is low, the demand is high, the cost is going to go up. You know, it's basic civics 101. And people, you know, have totally forgotten about this. You know, everyone's going to get guns. They want to get ammunition. You know, there are people out there trying to get 9mm. They're trying to get, you know, 223, 556. And guess what? The supply is low. The demand is very high, higher than it's ever been. And so the cost is going to go up. And that's only going to get worse now that Biden is is now going to be the next president of the United States, guess what? The cost of ammunition is going to be even higher. The cost of, you know, firearms are probably going to go up. Maybe there's going to be some talk of banning some type of gun that's out there. And so just the talk of it, even if it happens, it doesn't happen, the cost is going to go up. You know, that's what's going to happen. So like the guy said in the video, you know, you need to get ready. You know, instead of, you should already be ready. You shouldn't have to get ready. So I stay ready.
Stay ready. I saw you on election day. What were you wearing on election day?
I was wearing a bulletproof vest. I was ready for it.
Body armor.
That's right. Bulletproof vest. Had my AR. 3,000 rounds.
Hey, you know that the reporter that did that video there, he was a pretty handsome guy, pretty charismatic.
I don't know.
I think he's a real stellar part of the show. I think that guy needs a raise.
I don't think he's earned it yet. So Jennifer, what do you want to say to the people in closing there? You know what? When we come back from the break, I'll let you close out and tell us what do you expect to happen. You know, do you have a court date and where can people support you? Do you have a GoFundMe page? We'll talk about that when we come back from the break. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Brittany Glaze, and I get my global gun news from Michael Cargill on Come and Talk It.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're back, and we're talking about this election. I want to talk with Jennifer Fleck about, you know, when is your court case? How can people support you? Because a lot of people like what you have to say, you know. So when is your case? How do they support you?
My case is November 24th. I don't have a record. I've never been to jail. It's a Class B misdemeanor. I'm hoping and thinking that it will get dismissed. I'm an attorney. I plan on either representing myself or having a Patriot attorney represent me for free.
Okay, so November 24th. Okay.
Correct.
All right. And what court is that?
You know, I don't know. Travis County. I don't know what court I'm in.
Okay. Okay. And then is there a GoFundMe page anyway that people can, you know, support you in that way?
I don't have a GoFundMe page. Okay. I'm hoping this doesn't cost a lot of money.
Right.
But thank you for asking.
No.
Criminal trespass? You're fine.
Yeah.
I could represent you. I've been to court enough times. I won my case last time.
But I will say this, I've had many candidates reach out to me that were on the ballot in November in Travis County, and also a transportation PAC has reached out to me. And so there may be a lawsuit in the works where we allege that the Travis County clerk has illegally processed votes and that they didn't get a fair election.
Right. And that's exactly what should happen. That's exactly the way to do it, you know, 100%. And so I'm definitely... sorry that it actually happened to you. I'm sorry you experienced that, you know, in the Travis County Elections Office, you know, but like I said, that is a corrupt office. That's the correct building. The tax assessor is a very corrupt building, a correct office, and we did not hold them accountable this election. We put the same people back into office again to continue doing their same corrupt business as usual with your tax dollars.
Yep.
The Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS troopers, walked into the tax assessor's office and arrested employees, and we did not hold them accountable this election.
That's right.
They don't think you're stupid. They know you're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's sort of like when you tell your child, if you do that again, I'm going to ground you or spank you or punish you, and you just keep saying it, but you don't ever do it. That's the same thing. We have laws in place. They break the laws. There's supposed to be a penalty, but they keep
doing the same thing, which is why I respect what you did. Even if I may have difference of opinion with you on a number of issues, You can't, it's the same thing with the constituency though. You can't have these people saying, we've got rigged elections. That's all talk. And if you're all talk and you don't walk the walk, then they're going to keep doing it. But if people start walking into these places and getting arrested and getting carted out in the paddy wagon, you know what I'm saying? It's going to start changing things, whether you like it or not, Michael, because you know what changed after the BLM protests? Police got defunded. That stuff does work. Civil disobedience does work. You can't always just wait to bring it to the legislature because sometimes it's too late and you got more corrupt people in there. Now, I'm also saying, you know, you go into jail for one day as a poll watcher is not going to change that much, but those little incremental events, I mean, these little less significant events can develop incremental change.
It creates public pressure.
It
creates public pressure and public awareness. When more people are demanding that the laws be enforced, then it's hopefully, the idea is we're going to force the AG to do his job and to prosecute election crimes.
And the governor said that he's going to take that power away from the city of Austin, and he's going to regulate it on the state level.
What?
Yeah, exactly. You missed that part, didn't you?
No, I don't like that either.
Yeah, that's
I don't
okay.
like that either. Listen, if you put...
you missed that part.
Are you
part,
real proud of yourself over there,
no,
Michael?
I'm just telling you, there's cause and effect when it comes to everything. There's a certain way to do everything. The way that you can't destroy someone's property and think that everyone's going to jump up and down and support you because you're destroying property.
But it's been working with these people that are my age, mm-hmm. these younger people, because
don't agree with the governor putting the Austin Police Department underneath the DPS.
I don't either.
This is why. Hold on. But the Republican leadership allows problems to fester. So if we had legal elections, we could elect city council members that represent our interests. But if we don't have legal elections, then the problem just gets worse.
So how do you solve it?
And worse. Legal elections.
How? That's a good question.
Take the criminals. Huh? Hold on. We got to prosecute election crimes, and we have to put honest
Who's we?
Who's going to prosecute?
Who's going to prosecute? It's the same
General.
Problem with the police.
I know.
They're not, because they're corrupt, too. The whole system's corrupt, which is why I think that when I really do support what you did, because I think it's the only thing that really puts it out there.
Yeah. On behalf of the black community, I'm going to welcome you to the black community. Welcome to the United States of America. All right, so let's talk about use of force.
Thank you for having me. Are you talking to me or her? No,
both of you. I'm welcoming you to Black America. That such is life, and I'm gonna welcome you to the indigenous.
We live in America.
Indigenous
all people matter.
All right, well, I'm gonna welcome you to the indigenous people, to the Indians, and make you an Indian.
I'm an American
and
Indian.
Welcome to America.
I have an American
so
Indian.
So you understand?
I'm a female. Great. Females have endured more persecution than Black America.
And you understand the great foxtrot and how the Indians feel.
Yes,
great.
I do.
All right, outstanding. So
be a patriot, be a Texan, so fight for America.
Grab a gun. Why'd you wait so long to go buy a gun?
I never have felt this unsafe, to be honest. And I didn't grow up with guns. I didn't have a dad that had a gun.
Well, you're going to learn today.
Yes. You're going to learn today.
You're going to learn today. All right.
I love it.
All right. So let's talk about use of force and deadly force. I got this question this week. You know, people said, you know, what do I do, Michael, if I find myself driving on I-35 and there's a riot, protest, whatever, I'm sitting on the interstate. You know, what do I do? And people surround my vehicle. They're on 35. They're pounding my vehicle. What do I do? Unfortunately, the law does not give you anything other than civil remedy to handle that situation, because someone's pounding on your vehicle, blocking traffic, banging on your vehicle. All you can do is good description of that person and take it up civilly, you know, because unless the police arrest them for blocking the roadway, which is a Class A misdemeanor, blocking the roadway. But if the police do not arrest them because we've defunded the police, then you have to deal with it civilly. And all you can do is sit in your vehicle. The Texas Castle Doctrine says that if someone's attempting to enter your vehicle or remove you from your vehicle, you can use force or deadly force to stop them. It doesn't say just because someone's pounding on your vehicle, someone's standing next to your vehicle, you can use force or deadly force to stop them. Now, if someone's pointing a gun at you, that's another story. Then do you feel that this person is trying to kill you? If you think they're trying to attempt murder, they're trying to kill you, then you can use force or deadly force to stop them. So you got to understand use of force and deadly force. I encourage people, if you're going to carry a gun, but you're not going to get your license, it's always good to come to class and take a license to carry handgun course so we can go over the Texas laws with you. Because there's a difference between the Stand Your Ground law and the Texas Castle Doctrine. The Stand Your Ground law says that if someone's attempting, you know, basically if someone's committing, you know, some type of crime, whether it's aggravated kidnapping, murder, sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, robbery, aggravated robbery, you can stand your ground. You have no duty to retreat. As long as you're not committing criminal trespass, as long as you have a right to be there, as long as you're not committing a crime, then you can stand your ground. You have no duty to retreat. Now, and that's if that person is committing aggravated kidnapping, murder, sexual assault, aggravated sexual assault, robbery, aggravated robbery. If they're attempting to enter or remove you unlawfully from your home, your vehicle, your place of business. Now, when it comes to the use of force and deadly force on property, No, people, you cannot shoot someone just because someone's in your backyard. If your house backs up to the greenbelt, this is the number two question. My house backs up to the greenbelt, and if someone hops my fence and they're committing criminal trespass and they're in my backyard, can I shoot them? No, you cannot. Unfortunately, the only thing you can do is use force. Force is you can push them off the property. You can use pepper spray. You cannot use deadly force because someone's committing criminal trespass. And just so you know, criminal trespass means you've asked them to leave. They refuse to leave. That's criminal trespass. The way this works is you have to call the police. The police have to show up. When the police show up, you tell that person in front of the police officer to leave. If they refuse to leave, it's criminal trespass. If they leave and come back, that's criminal trespass. You can only use force. You cannot use deadly force for criminal trespass. If someone's in your backyard, unfortunately, all you need to do, all you can do is call the police and get law enforcement involved. When it comes to using deadly force in your property, here's how the breakdown is, people. You can use deadly force to protect your property if a person is committing arson, burglary, robbery, aggravated robbery, theft during the nighttime, or criminal mischief during the nighttime. Arson, doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime. If there's a crowd of people and they're at a business somewhere and they're burning down the business, whether it's daytime or nighttime, you can use force, a deadly force, to stop them because that is arson. They're committing arson. If a person's committing burglary, you can use force, deadly force, to stop burglary. Any portion of their body sticks to the door, the window that protrudes through that door, that window, you can use force, deadly force, to stop them. Doesn't matter if it's daytime or nighttime. If they're committing robbery, they're taking something from you with force, you can use force, deadly force, to stop them. Aggravated robbery, production of a weapon that caused injury to you when they take it from you, you can use force, deadly force, to stop them. Theft, you can only use deadly force if it's theft happening at night, not during the daytime. Theft, someone swipes something from you, theft. Someone goes into a store, they take something off the shelf, that's theft. If someone pickpockets you, that is theft. If someone takes something from you with force, that is robbery, or it could be aggravated robbery if they use a weapon. You can only use deadly force as theft happening at night, and also criminal mischief. Toilet paper in your home, graffiti in your property, you can use force, deadly force to stop that. Remember, this election would have been different if this president may have stood up a little stronger for the Second Amendment and not heed and hawed and step back on it. If President Trump would not have banned bump stocks, he would not have banned or came after AR pistols like the Honey Badger, he would have been reelected president. Obama expanded gun owners' rights, carried loaded firearms into the Grand Canyon and other national parks. Also, Amtrak passengers to carry guns and check baggage, that happened under President Obama, reversing a ban that was put in place after 9/11. Don't forget it. As always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talking with Michael Cargill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.